This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. So the book of Acts, or rather the Acts of the Apostles, which we hear parts of from our first reading today, it's sort of the what happened next part of the New Testament. It's a scripture we have that continues the story after Jesus' resurrection. It tells us what the apostles did next after Jesus was resurrected and made himself known to them. It's also a story about the first converts to people becoming people of the way, which is what they were called and known about before they were called Christians. People of the way being the way of Jesus. The story of Acts is also a story about how the church came to be, the collective of the body of Christ. And we, here today, are a part of that story as it continues. And we hear today Peter standing with the 11, and he raises his voice and he reminds the crowd the truth about Jesus, and he reminds the crowd of their responsibility in his death. And we're told that in hearing these words, their hearts, this hard truth strikes a chord in their hearts, and they are remorseful. And they ask how or what they might be able to do to make amends. And Peter says, well, acknowledge your wrongdoing, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because why? Because the promises that God made through Jesus Christ are not only for you, but they're also for your children. They're not only for the here and now, but they are for those who will come after you. It's not only for those who are close to you today, but to those who are far away. Those, all of those whom the Lord our God calls. So in other words, he says, yes, there is much you can do today to make amends. But what you choose today to be a follower of Jesus, to be a person of the way, is not only about you, Peter says. It's about those who will come after you. We heard in the epistle of Peter, as we heard, you have been born anew of imperishable seed. Those of you who are baptized in Jesus Christ and become followers of the way are born anew, and you shall not perish. That you have a new way of experiencing the world, a genuine mutual love. So love one another deeply. I would argue that in that love one another deeply, there's sort of an undercurrent is you owe other people to tell them about Jesus. And then the gospel takes us back to the very day of Jesus' resurrection. Now, this encounter with the risen Jesus on the road to Emmaus is just after the Marys, and the 11 had discovered that the tomb was empty. So while they're back trying to figure out what to do next and the hubbub around this empty tomb, these two disciples are on their way home. So these two disciples are not two of the 11. These are new followers of Jesus. And we learn that one is named Cleopas. We don't know the name of the other. But these followers would not have been present with Jesus during the Passover feast. These followers would not have been there when Jesus broke bread at the Last Supper. These two followers would not have been there when Jesus reminded his disciples to take bread and drink wine and remember him. And we are told that their eyes were kept from recognizing this man as Jesus. Now, it isn't hard to imagine the disciples might have been a little preoccupied with what had just happened. I imagine they're heading home. It's been a tragic week of events. They're confused because now they have this story that Jesus' body is missing. An odd ending to what to them was a very hopeful story that he was to redeem Israel. And I imagine that part of their discussion might have been, well, what are we going to do next? Do we simply go home? Go back to our old life? And I imagine the shock with which Cleopas replied, dude, where have you been? Do you not know what has been going on? Have you been hiding under a rock? And I imagine in some ways, Jesus might have sort of been enjoying his anonymity. Maybe a little tongue-in-cheek as he walks along and says, what are you guys talking about? I'm sure the disciples were focused on and probably a bit scared on where they were going. Focused on where they were going. What had just happened and where they were going instead of where they were and who they were with. That they were so caught up in what was happening in their life that they couldn't see Jesus right there in front of them. Author Gretchen Rubin, in her most recent book, it's called Life in Five Senses. And if you've been through kindergarten, you could probably name those five senses, right? Hearing, smell, touch, taste. What was the other one? Sight. And she talks about how exploring the senses got her out of her head and into the world. And she opens her book with a quote from artist Andy Warhol. And this quote is, nobody looks at anything. It's too hard. Nobody looks at anything. It's too hard. She posits that it takes so much energy and focus to pay attention to what is actually happening right now that we often overlook the greatness, because it all seems so familiar. An example. Have you ever had a cup of coffee or your favorite beverage, and when you're finished, you realize you didn't even taste it? Or have you eaten a meal and seen that your plate was empty, but you don't even remember what it was like? Have you ever driven somewhere and not remember how you got there? Going through the motions, going through the routine, one day dissolving into another. Not unlike the disciples on the road to Emmaus, how often our eyes kept from seeing Jesus. How often are our concerns and our worries kept us from seeing God right in front of us? Because we're caught up in our own head, in our own stuff, in our own ideas of what should have happened. What it should look like. so caught up in the should have that we can't recognize the right now with Jesus. So caught up in our own worries and concerns and the day-to-day, daily grind that life can bring us to, that we miss seeing God in all of those day-to-day moments. Would we be able to remove ourselves from our own ambitions, our own problems, our own worries, and our own business to notice Jesus? How do we stop and notice Jesus in our daily life? Would we recognize Jesus to see God in our day to day? There's a Canadian sculptor. His name is Timothy Schmalz. I think I pronounced that right. And he created a bronze sculpture of Jesus, though it is not one that most would recognize. You see, his sculpture depicts Jesus as a homeless person sleeping on a park bench. And he's covered in a blanket, so you can't see his face or much of his body. And the sculpture is titled Jesus the Homeless. The original sculpture was installed at Regis College and University of Toronto in 2013. The first one in the United States was at St. Albans Church, Episcopal Church in Davidson, North Carolina. And since 2016, over 100 casts of this statue have been installed worldwide, including one at the Vatican in Rome. Would we recognize Jesus as a person asleep on a park bench? You see, friends, the resurrection happened not only to show us the truth about eternal life, but to show us how to have a life well lived right now. And that demands of us a presence that a life in Jesus Christ can offer. An awareness that God is working all around us. That if we try, we can see the face of Jesus in every human being we encounter. It wasn't until the disciples had finished their walk and sat at the dinner table with the smell of fresh baked bread wafting through the air, a quiet evening in the comfort of their own home, the familiar and the comfortable. They finally could relax. It was only then that they recognized the man who had accompanied them along this journey, probably a good 3 hours walk, was Jesus. And when Jesus breaks the bread and they recognize that he was with them all along, he disappears. We don't know where he goes. I don't like how that story ends. I'm like, where'd he go? But I bet they were wishing they'd have noticed about 6 miles sooner that they were in the presence of Jesus. Life has a way of consuming all of our senses. But what can we do, and how do we stop and notice Jesus in our daily life? You see, you and I, as followers of the way, as Christians, we continue to be a part of the what's next. The story of Acts continues with us. And it is up to us to see and to continue to point toward God and God's continuing to work in this world, even among tragedy, even among death, even among sorrow and pain. It's easy to see God when things are going well. But we are invited to recognize God is with us in all things. Amen.